This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. It seems that for every special occasion, there is a special dessert. Cake on birthdays and for weddings, an assortment of pies on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and cookies at a funeral. Meg Favreau is writer, comedian, and regular contributor to the online food magazine Table Matters. She explored the history and meaning behind funeral dessert traditions in an article called A Snack Called Death. Hello, Meg.
Hi, Virginia.
When and where did you discover the lost tradition of the funeral cookie?
Well, last year I went to this great event here in Los Angeles called the Death Salon. It's put on by this group called the Order of the Good Death, which is a small collection of generally young funeral professionals, scholars who are interested in death, and journalists who are interested in death. And so it was just a really fascinating group of people. And for the last evening party, there's this fantastic writer and cook, Sarah Elizabeth Troop, who runs a blog called Nourishing Death. And she created this amazing spread of funeral foods for the evening. And the thing that really caught my eye were there were these little 2-inch square paper packages that had wax seals on them. And when you opened them up, inside was a small buttery spiced cookie. And that was a funeral biscuit.
What is the origin of this funeral biscuit?
Well, it has a really long history, but this particular one, the wrapped funeral biscuit, goes back to about Victorian England, where they would be given away as a memento at the end of funerals. And there's actually a great example of one that not only was a wrapped funeral biscuit, but it has the deceased's name on it and a poem to remember them by.
Wow. Well, how have funeral dessert traditions varied across cultures?
The types of foods vary widely. There's different types of cookies. In Wales, it's more of a lady finger. In colonial America, it was more of like a buttery biscuit, usually molasses-based. But it always has to do with basically breaking bread together and sharing memories of the deceased.
You write about another funeral food trend that died out some time ago. Now, this is called sin eating. What is that?
Oh, sin eating is fascinating. It's the process of passing food or drink over a corpse to a person who then eats it. And the person who eats it takes on the sins of the deceased so they can go on into heaven sin free. Sometimes it would be the relatives who did this at a funeral. But in some communities, there were actually poor people in the community who were paid a small amount to eat sins.
Wow.
And they were generally looked down on. Yeah. There's actually a community in Shropshire that claims to have the grave of the last sin eater who died in 1906.
That's quite a sacrifice to make.
Yeah.
I can see that you wouldn't have a lot of takers for that one. But why do you think these funeral dessert traditions fell out of fashion?
I don't think they necessarily fell out of fashion. I think that they've changed. You know, we might not take away cookies from funerals anymore, but we often have other little bits of memory to take away, whether it's a bracelet with the deceased's name, or even just a program where people have contributed memories that they have about the deceased. And we still share food after funerals. You know, when my grandmother died, one of the most powerful parts of the day of the funeral was going to my grandmother's house after and sharing in all of the food that everyone brought to celebrate my grandmother and remember her.
The kind of casseroles and left in the freezer, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Were you, Meg, able to find any of the original recipes from some of these more traditional funeral desserts, like the funeral biscuit, for example?
Well, the thing that's interesting about recipes like this is that because they were so common, they were things that everybody made, they weren't put in cookbooks. And so it's actually hard to find many of the original recipes for these. So the recipes that I have with my article are based on a lot of research. For example, the Welsh funeral cookies are ladyfinger-like. So I have a ladyfinger recipe from the time period. And the American colonial funeral cookies were buttery, molasses, and often seasoned with caraway seeds. And so I developed a recipe based off my research for that.
Hmm. So what would you do if you were going to update the funeral cookie for the 21st century? Of course, you're in Los Angeles. Would it be made out of spelt or something like that?
I think that the updated funeral cookie is really just a classic cookie that you love. It's something that you can give to everyone and share and people find comforting. So, I mean, personally, I always think a nice piece of shortbread is comforting and good to share. And the recipe that I developed for the molasses cookie, it's molassesy, it's buttery. I mean, that's really, I hate to utter the phrase my ideal funeral cookie, because that sounds a little bizarre, but I think that's actually my ideal funeral cookie.
Meg Favreau, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Meg Favreau, a writer, comedian, and a regular contributor to the online food magazine Table Matters. You'll find a link to her article, A Snack Called Death, and find her recipe for funeral biscuits at wordofmouthradio.org. While the funeral cookie may have died out in the early 20th century, a new enduring snack emerged a few decades later, the Frito. When Word of Mouth continues, the surprisingly fascinating story of the man behind Fritos. That's after the news.